Time to go down under, where Katie McDonald is waiting in the wings in Sydney to give us the latest on news making headlines in her part of the world. Morning, Katie. Cold Katie is what I'm calling you today.
Yes, I'm freezing cold and I'm trying not to cough. I've got a little bit of a, sort of frog in the throat. It shouldn't be COVID related, being half vaccinated, that is. But yeah, it is freezing and I'm sorry, I don't mean to complain, but yeah, just...
It's all right. It's winter. It is. It's cold. It's cold. All right. So we're going to kick off. Listen, our numbers are not looking good here. That's just a fact. They are. I say creeping up. Creeping, I think, is an understatement. They are rising rapidly. What's the situation in Sydney?
Well, here's the thing. I know that the numbers themselves seem small, but there's been a new outbreak in the eastern suburbs of Sydney. Called the Bondi outbreak. And it started with a limousine driver who'd been transporting airline staff around the city. And he's a 60-year-old. He tested positive, but not before he'd visited quite a few places. And currently there are nine cases linked that they have linked to him. And they're urging people to, obviously, more people to get tested. I think there were nearly 25,000 tests done on Saturday, more on Friday. But what is scary, and this is not something just common to hear, but with the tracing, the contact tracing, they can just see how quickly and easily this spreads. One man in his 50s who's tested positive, walked past. They have got a clip of him just walking past, not even close by, the driver in a department store. And, that's hardly contact at all. And, it is obviously concerning. As we know, it's an ongoing situation around the world. We're continually discovering new things about the virus. But what's also happened, Australia's been thought to be lagging a bit behind, probably is, with regards to its vaccination program. And there's been a lot of concern about the AstraZeneca vaccine, which was recommended for people 50 years and over.
Katie, I was speaking now to a friend of mine. Sorry, love. I was speaking to a friend of mine who lives in Melbourne in the week, and he was saying that, and I don't know if this is now the case, and he wasn't quite sure, that for a time, depending on your age, you were able to choose in Australia which vaccine you wanted to have. Is that right?
Not as far as I know. Look, it does vary from state to state. Essentially, if you're below 60 now, it would have been, a week ago, below 50, you were eligible for the Pfizer. But I suppose if you want the AstraZeneca, you could choose it.
Right.
That would be up to you.
Okay.
The fact is that up until a few days ago, the AstraZeneca was the vaccine that they had chosen to give to people 50 and over. Now, they have said no. 60 and over. So you've got 815,000 approximately people between 50 and 59, and I do hate to say that I'm one of them, who've already had their first dose. The danger, apparently, is after the first dose. So it's this rare blood clotting disorder that is linked to it. And they've got 60 cases now across the country that are confirmed to have been linked to the vaccine. 60 cases, 37 confirmed, 23 probable, and two people in their 50s have died. Now, you can imagine that creates panic, so suddenly people are not going into their second vaccine, which is, they say, the risk is absolutely minimal of developing anything. And that is concerning because we need to be vaccinated. But they're following this outbreak. They've introduced, reintroduced mask rules and such things in shopping centres and on public transport, which they probably should have kept anyway. But hopefully it's not going to spread. And, I've been walking around with the mask and staying away from the local shopping centre. And, I'm still going to have my second vaccine, despite the fact that I'm, in a dangerous age group.
You got vaccinated. Was it the week before last, Katie, or was it last week?
It's over 3 weeks ago.
Gosh,
now.
Is it really?
I'm counting the days.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The first 3 days.
Yeah.
That you're you're at risk. But so far so good.
All right. If you're just joining us, by the way, we're chatting, of course, to Katie McDonald, who's giving us the latest news from Australia and surrounds. The trial of Aung San Suu Kyi, whose name I'm always convinced I've completely massacred, but you know what? There we are. Her trial is beginning or has begun. What's the latest there?
Well, the latest is just more concern with regards to her future. So it's all under wraps. There's obviously not journalists and such allowed to witness the proceedings, but they're now even more concerned because it's a kind of trial. It's not just behind closed doors, but the military largely control the judiciary. So the judiciary is supposed to be independent, but it's not really, because most of those within the judiciary and most of the lawyers do come from the military. And I found out something interesting. I didn't realize that with their constitution, or the new constitution in 2008, the power of the military was enshrined within it. It actually has the power to take control if it deems a crisis. And it's the military that judges what constitutes a crisis. And essentially, they're controlling her trial. So it's looking less and less, not as though it even did at the beginning, that she's going to get a fair trial. What is quite concerning as well is that there's an Australian economist. He's been an economics advisor to her. And he's also one of those arrested and detained. And it's been said here that they really don't expect him to have a fair trial at all. This is a man, or the economist is called Sean Turnell. And the Australian government have been calling for his release, and that's not happening either. I mean, the UN passed another resolution calling for an arms embargo and also to release Aung San Suu Kyi. They've obviously rejected that in Myanmar. And she spends yet another birthday. She turned 76 yesterday, and she's only been in contact to date. I think when I spoke to you last, it was twice with her lawyers. It's now three times. But they're not feeling very positive about it all. And there were protests yesterday. Well, when I say protests, marches in support of her birthday, with people wearing flowers and, you know, in their hair and such, which signify defiance in the face of adversity for the Burmese. So it's concerning, because I assume we are not going to hear anything, or not much, until she's potentially sentenced.
I wonder what the eventual outcome of this all will be, Katie. But yeah, it's don't know. I'll be honest with you, not sure. Be interesting to see what the outcome is. Mm. Listen, let's talk about this movie that's happening. Is it planned? Has production begun? Which has as its topic, as its centerpiece, the devastating Christchurch massacre.
Yes, it hasn't begun. Production, but it is. It's reached quite a far stage in its planning, and it has caused quite an uproar in New Zealand. It's a Hollywood movie, so to speak. It does have some New Zealand producers and such involved. The title is They Are Us, and the gist of it is, what it does is it focuses on Jacinda Ardern's response to the attacks. Now, it's being slammed in New Zealand. They're calling it a white saviour story. There's a petition that to date has got more than 60,000 people have signed it, asking for it to be shut down. The Christchurch mayor has suggested that they don't even allow crews into the city, and one of the New Zealand-based producers has pulled out. So there's a lot of criticism being leveled at it by the community, and especially the Muslim community. They're saying it's 2 years on, people are still struggling, they're still suffering, there are people that are still dealing with the death of loved ones and with injuries sustained in the attack. And here's this movie that's up for production, and it focuses on Ardern's response, yet it's not being told from any point of view or in any way from the point of view of the Muslim community who were the victims of the attack. So there's quite a lot of anger and outrage with regards to it. And as I mentioned, they're just saying it feeds into this white savior narrative. And what about the victims? What about the survivors? And what about interacting with the Muslim community that were affected by it? And it's an Australian actress, Rose Byrne.
Rose Byrne, I think, was in Bridesmaids, wasn't she?
Yes. She's been in quite a few things.
She was also in something with Mark Wahlberg about adopting some children, I think. I'm actually a fan of hers. I've never seen her in a dramatic piece before, though. I'm erring towards the viewing this quite cynically. I would agree. I think it smacks of white saviourism to me. Also, it would seem like it's a bit too soon. I don't know that we necessarily want to know. We need a movie on this, but it's happening, so there we go. And then finally, this is a fantastic and finally, a houseplant in New Zealand has sold for quite an extraordinary amount of money.
Yes, well, I did the conversion. Sarah,
thank you very much.
So it's been sold for just under 270,000 rand.
Ridiculous. What is it?
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Unless it's the plant from Little Shop of Horrors, then whoever bought it has been done.
Oh, not quite. Now, let's see if I can pronounce it properly.
Okay.
It's Raphidophora tetrasperma. It is a very rare white variegated one. And it has seven leaves, apparently, at the moment. Unbelievable. It was on this New Zealand auction site. They had 248 bids for it. So it is rare. Okay, I get it. But it's a house plant. And, apparently the sort of variation in the colour on the leaves makes it even rarer. But 270,000 rand. It's one of those things, Sarah Jane. It just makes one question, what would people spend on collectibles?
Well, and you've seamlessly, if only we were having this conversation next week, Katie, because next week I will be speaking to a guy who runs a shop that sells, or an online store that sells movie memorabilia, and he is an online auction for collectors of movie type memorabilia and stuff. One of the items up for grabs is the fedora worn by Harrison Ford in the Indiana Jones movies, and he says it could fetch upwards of $500,000. So people, if you are in the business of collecting, then you will collect anything, and you will spend anything to get your hands on that item. The difference here being, the fedora isn't going to die if you don't look after it properly.
Whereas
the houseplant, okay, well, listen, if you've got 270,000 rand to spare for a houseplant, I'm looking at a picture of it now. It looks a lot like a lot of the plants that my mum's got in her house. So I don't, and I'm fairly sure she's not sitting on a plant gold mine. Listen, Katie, we've run out of time. Always lovely to chat to you. We will chat again next week. Thank you very much indeed. Stay warm, stay safe. Katie McDonald, live from Sydney this morning.